What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Wink and a nod from Supreme Court to cities with the Grants Pass ruling has paved the way for San Francisco to even more. Who thought it was possible? Even more aggressively clear encampments that serve as homes and communities for the unhoused. And now Mayor London Breed has issued an executive order telling city officials to pick up the pace of clearing the encampments and clearing the streets by offering free bus tickets out of town as an incentive, get this, before offering housing. Joining us to discuss is Jennifer Friedenbach, executive director of the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Let's back up for some context, because I think I've just been throwing around the word Grants Pass ruling on the show, and we haven't actually done a deep dive. If you could give context, what is the ruling? How did it wind its way to the Supreme Court? What laws did it change?
Yeah, so since 2018, in a case, Martins versus Boise, they found that you can't cite and arrest homeless people for lodging if they are involuntarily homeless. And that was defined as basically an offer of shelter. So municipalities, you know, had to offer shelter before they can cite and arrest people. So basically, there was a case up in Grants Pass. They were there was only one shelter in town, and basically they were citing and arresting people for having a blanket. And they won the case, and then it was appealed and it went to the Supreme Court. To the Trump Supreme Court, which, by the way, that was supported by Governor Newsom and Mayor Breed to have this law challenged, which is really, I think, you know, talk about being on the wrong side of history. And so the Supreme Court overturned it. So now homeless people can be cited and arrested for lodging. Even if there is no shelter available, even if there was no offer of shelter. And so that kind of emboldened a lot of actions that have nothing to do with the Supreme Court ruling, frankly, because that is specifically about whether or not you have to offer shelter first. But in San Francisco, it's meant that they are, you know, taking people's property out of their hands. They're, you know, people are losing their identification, their paperwork that sets them back on housing. They're losing their medicine, their survival gear, the very last things that they're holding on to, you know, since they lost their housing. And so it's really been quite brutal.
And infuriating, and something we're trying to navigate, you know, on this side of the bridge, Jennifer, and James Birch, Deputy Director of APTP, understands it more deeply than I. Maybe you can provide some additional light. There also now has impacted like how folks can advocate for the unhoused. People can be arrested for being perceived as intervening, correct? Yes.
Yeah, we haven't seen, we have in the past already. Seen people arrested for, you know, failure to follow police orders or, you know, this kind of, you know, bogus stuff. You know, so, you know, at times they throw in a resisting arrest is kind of the common thing they use. And so, so we've seen that. We haven't seen that in San Francisco, but we've seen in terms of community allies, but we've seen a lot of unhoused people getting arrested and cited. And so, for example, you know, there's been several situations where, you know, someone's kind of arguing and trying to be like, look, I'm just trying to get my stuff together so I can get it away and out of the sweep zone, you know, which they're supposed to notice. And they'll slap handcuffs on them and take all their property. Or stick them in the police car, or cite them, or you know, arrest them, bring them in, and release them, whatever. But basically, like detain them while they're, you know, throwing away their very last possession. So we've seen that quite a bit, and then a lot of folks getting cited for lodging, and you know, one of the things that they're doing differently is they're doing this thing where they're calling it encampment, re-encampment prevention, where if they've noticed an area and then that area, everybody's evicted from that area, the next day they'll come back. And if totally new people are there or if someone returns, it doesn't really matter, then they'll be immediately cited, arrested, property taken, sometimes thrown in the garbage. Occasionally they're starting to bag and tag some property now, and then people have to go down and get it. But they, in terms of people's rights, they can never take property out of people's hands, right? So, someone is supposed to be given the opportunity to leave the area with their property. The only property that, that they bag, that they should be taking and bag and tagging is what you would call unattended property, which is where there isn't anyone there to claim it. And then that's the property that's supposed to be bag and tagged. But of course, they're taking property right out of people's hands. So it's really quite brutal. And there's also, I just want to say, there's this incredibly false narrative being created, which isn't surprising. We've seen it before, where unhoused people are demonized and scapegoated, much like Trump uses immigrants right now in the same way. And so, this whole fake narrative about service resistant, and we offered people shelter and they refused, and so they trump up these numbers that are nowhere near based on reality, and that's in our evidence, actually, in our lawsuit. And that is kind of a classic way to shift blame onto the backs of unhoused people. See, they don't want help, and then it's their fault. And so that's really disturbing also, because it just builds up this, frankly, like class hatred that makes it really difficult then to get public support for solutions.
And seems to be the dominant public narrative in San Francisco now, and has oozed its way into Oakland and across the country, to be quite frank. Jennifer Friedenbach, we've seen this tactic before, right, where there's this narrative that all of the unhoused in the city, none of them lived there before they were unhoused. None of them were pushed out of their housing because the rent is too damn high. They've all come from all these various places because they want to bask in the glorious California sun. And so this will bust them out of town. First of all, can you speak to that narrative? Second of all, what is different about this coming down as an executive order?
Yeah. So, our whole lawsuit is based on the fact that the city doesn't follow its own policies. So, this executive order, there's some key differences in there. And there's a couple different elements to it, right? So there's an executive order around, basically you have to offer a bus ticket or plane ticket out of town before people can get, it's actually not just an offer of housing, it's an offer of shelter. So we're basically, what this administration is proposing in real time is that they're busing native San Franciscans out of town, who are disproportionately Black and Brown. So, there's that piece of it. And you're also putting up another barrier to get shelter. So that's obviously problematic. I mean, if their intention is to get people off the streets, creating another barrier is a problem. And of course, it totally creates confusion in the entire system. Nobody knows what they're supposed to do with this order or how it works or anything like that. And whenever you have confusion, homeless people are at the losing end of that particular battering ram. So it's really problematic. And it's important to note that the majority of unhoused San Franciscans became homeless as housed San Franciscans. And even the folks that are in that portion that came in from out of town, a lot of them are actually from San Francisco, got displaced to more, low income suburbs. Lower rent suburbs. And, when they're in trouble, come back, because this is where their community support is. And this is really where they consider home. And so we've had such mass displacement of Black and Brown community members, and many of them end up unhoused. So, again, because of the rising rent. So, when this is again, kind of a political, move where it's not based in what's going to be effective in terms of addressing the problem, because there's very few people who can even take advantage of those bus tickets, because, like I said, they're here, their people are here, and then other folks don't have, you know, they're unhoused, they don't have, you know, people to take them in. It used to be in this program that you had to have somebody willing to take you at the other end. They did eliminate that that piece of it. And so they're just like, bus ticket out, you know, with that. It doesn't matter if they're homeless once they get there. So that's pretty cruel. I mean, honestly, this whole thing is really cruel. And it's another way to kind of blame, kind of dehumanize, you know, this othering, you know, we don't care as much if they're from somewhere else. So it just kind of pushes this narrative about, you know, they're coming in from outside and therefore I don't need to do anything as a policymaker because more will just come. So it's a very convenient narrative along with the service resistant narrative that lets the policymakers off the hook.
All right, Jennifer, you and I could go on for quite some time, but I've got to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for your work and for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. And oh, just real quick, you know, this issue is solvable. And, you know, there are solutions. And we know that housing prevention, you know, works. So.
Yes. Jennifer, where can people get more information about your work or if folks want to?
Yeah, they can. They can go on our website, Coalition on Homelessness San Francisco. So it's cohsf.org. Okay. And thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Anytime. Thank you.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.